This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Should foods carry labels saying whether they've been genetically engineered? That's the central question behind Prop 105 on Colorado's ballot this election. Let's hear the pros and cons from Tammy DeVille Merrill of Right to Know Colorado, which is backing the measure, and Mary Lee Chin, representing the No campaign. Thanks to both of you for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks so much for having me.
Quickly, here is what 105 says. Colorado law would be changed to require that food that has been genetically modified or treated with genetically modified material be labeled that it was, quote, produced with genetic engineering. This would take effect July of 2016. Tammy, why is such a label useful to someone in the grocery store, and what would they do with that information?
Well, we're lucky to live in a country where we can choose from a wide variety of foods, but unfortunately, we're currently choosing blindly when we don't have all the information about the foods that we're choosing from. So genetic engineering entered our food supply about 20 years ago. And, you know, back to just the basics of what a GMO is, or genetically modified organism, it's when you take genetic material from one plant or organism and you insert that into the DNA of another organism. So that creates something wholly new that does not occur in nature. It's clear what the primary ingredients are that are genetically modified in our food system. It's over 90% of corn, soy, sugar beets, canola, also some zucchini and squash and Hawaiian papaya. So it's easy to look and see this was derived from corn. This is sugar. Obviously, that's the ingredient that was genetically modified.
We will get into why you think that's important in a minute. But first, Mary Lee, a New York Times poll last year found 93% of Americans favor labeling of foods that contain GMOs. Now, that's just one poll, but it suggests that you're facing an uphill battle. How do you start talking with voters about your position as part of the No campaign?
Well, I let people know that I'm a registered dietitian, and I've been a registered dietitian in Colorado for over 40 years. Accurate labeling of foods is very important to me. And given that, that is why I am against Proposition 105, because the label is not accurate, it's not consistent, and it's not reliable. I do understand that some people don't want it in their food supply. So there are two labels that exist now nationally that let people make those choices when they go to the grocery store.
One of them I know is organic. That is, if something is labeled organic, it can't have been GMO, correct?
Correct. So if you buy organic foods that are certified by the National Organic Program, which is run by the USDA, then you're guaranteed that the food is not genetically modified. The second one is called non-GMO verified, and this is a voluntary program that has 20,000 products so labeled in 2,000 brands. For this proposition, huge parts of the foods in supermarkets which contain genetically modified ingredients are exempt from this label.
So let's have Tammy DeVille Merrill respond to some of what you've said there. And why don't we tackle first, Tammy, the exemptions? And the exemptions include food that's eaten on site at a restaurant. It includes meat from animals that have been fed genetically modified organisms. Mm-hmm. And another exception is alcohol. There are others, mm-hmm. Food is prescribed by a doctor. Why the exemptions?
I'm glad you asked that question. There are exemptions. So there are a couple of issues here. One is we are limited in an initiative to a single subject. So food that has been modified versus food that is of an animal who consumed modified food, these could be considered different subjects. Food served in restaurants is never labeled for anything. So it doesn't fall under the section that talks about food labeling. So that would have to be addressed separately.
And to this idea that there are already ways to tell if a food does not have GMOs, the organic label, mm-hmm. for instance, what do you say?
They do exist, the organic and non-GMO project. They are voluntary, and the products that contain those labels currently make up less than 10% of the food available. So that leaves a majority of foods where we are left in the dark to know whether it contains genetically engineered food. And I don't know about you, as much as I'd love to buy 100% organic, my budget can't afford that. So anyone who can't afford to buy 100% organic should have the opportunity to have that transparency from their food manufacturers.
Let's get to health effects here. If you believe the WHO, the World Health Organization, and the American Academy of Sciences, there's no evidence that GMOs pose a risk to people's health. Now, I will say that the Academy is currently doing a new study that's due out in 2016 to verify those findings. But can you point to something that says GMO means ill health?
We are not saying that GMOs are good or bad. Proposition 105 is not a ban. It's not a warning. It's simply a call for transparency.
You're not saying it's good or bad. Really?
That's correct. And
you have no feeling that GMOs are bad? That's not at all what's driving you in this?
Well, here's the truth that no side can dispute. There have been no long-term human health studies on the effects of genetically engineered food. There are studies that have been funded by biotech, which claim safety. There have been other studies done by other groups that claim some harm. They're disputed by either side. Either side will dispute them. So let's just talk about the Colorado consumer in the grocery store at the shelf. They don't have time to go look at 1,700 studies that are cited. They want to know that long-term human health studies have been done, or they just want the information so they can choose for themselves.
So it sounds like what you're saying is there's enough of a question. There's enough
Correct.
Of a mystery that consumers ought to know.
Correct.
Mary Lee Chin from KnowOn 105, what's your response to that?
There have been thousands of studies. An Italian study looked at 1,783 studies, long-term animal studies that compared millions, tens of millions of animals eating trillions of meals of genetically modified feed. They all come to one conclusion, and that is genetically modified ingredients are safe as conventionally produced foods and not harmful for the environment. But when it gets to 105, consumers do have a choice, and they have the right to know the right information. With the amount of exemptions in there, if they want to avoid genetically modified foods, 105 will not give them that information.
But is it a first step? Can you acknowledge that, as Tammy has said?
If we're going to have a label for genetically modified, let's make it a good label, a truthful label, and a consistent, reliable label. She mentioned alcoholic beverages. So I brought two bottles here of beer. The beer that contains alcohol is exempt from modification. The beer that is non-alcoholic has to be labeled. And so you have the right to know on one aisle of the grocery store, but you don't have that right if you're in a different aisle.
Well, let's be clear at what is covered, Tammy.
Mm-hmm. What is covered? Imagine walking into the grocery store and you look to the left and you see the produce section, all raw produce sold in bins. Bulk bin products would be covered through all the packaged foods in the freezer section, the canned goods, all the way through cereals and packaged bread products. So it's over 75% of the food sold in grocery stores would be covered under Proposition 105. We think it's a great, reasonable first step.
Let's talk a bit about what this might mean for the cost of food. And there are arguments in both directions about whether or not this will make food more expensive. Tammy, how do you answer that question on behalf of Right to Know Colorado?
Well, the first thing to note is that there are 64 other countries who require the labeling of genetically engineered foods.
Including the European Union.
And including Italy, who interestingly did that compilation of 1,700 studies. Also, Consumers Union, which is the policy arm of the Consumers Report, came out with a study that estimated a cost at about $2.38 per year per consumer. So it's minimal grocery cost to the consumer, we believe.
And what would those costs be, even if they were minimal? Would that just be in printing a separate set of labels for Colorado or what? Give us some sense of the practical here.
Right. That's what would be required is getting information from the supply chain on which foods, which ingredients are genetically engineered and which are not. And again, it's very clear. Farmers know what seeds they're putting in the ground. It's not a mystery. And the main ingredients that are usually genetically engineered, again, not a mystery. You know, food, if you understand the food business, it's very, very competitive, and it's competitive on price point. So there is a question as to whether food manufacturers would even pass on any cost to the consumer because of their competitive strategies that they're already dealing with.
Is your hope here that, I don't know, a soup manufacturer has to print this for a Colorado label and they just wind up doing it for labels for other states?
It's not our goal. I wouldn't say that's our hope. But one thing to note is there are over 39 pieces of legislation in process right now in over 20 states regarding genetically engineered foods. It's on the ballot in Oregon this November, as it is in Colorado. So this is the way the nation is going, state by state, because our federal government hasn't made any progress on this issue.
Though these measures have failed in other states, including California. Mary Lee Chin, what about price?
Well, if people think that this isn't going to cost ultimately the consumer money, that's just wishful thinking. The fact is that farmers know it's going to cost Colorado farmers a lot of money to segregate their crops so it contains no trace of genetically modified foods. Would require new equipment, new combines, transportation system, trucks for the transportations, storage, handling facilities. I was talking to a farmer the other day. He said a 2014 combine used is $400,000. So for our Colorado farmers...
Wait, are you saying that there would have to be a separate combine for the crops that were GMO and the crops that weren't?
Absolutely, because Proposition 105 has a 0.0% tolerance level. And so a little dust, a little pollen gets into it, and then... it has to be labeled as genetically modified.
Tammy,
that seems costly for the farmer.
That seems like a big assertion. What can you say about it?
Yes, I'd like to address that. Thank you. So we have also talked to farmers. We actually talked to a young farmer from the Farm Bureau that was representing our opposition the other evening, and we asked her about her farm. They farm genetically engineered corn and organic corn, and we asked her about combines. They already have separate combines. So if you're organic certified, they're already requiring segregation. The second point is those that choose to grow non-GMO crops, there's a high demand for those crops, so they get a higher price for them. So it already behooves them to make sure that product is clean so that they can sell it in that marketplace.
But Mary Lee's assertion that there needs to be separate equipment is not incorrect, then.
I'm not an expert in that area. You do need to certify that it has not commingled with genetic engineered crops.
And there's a zero tolerance?
I would like to address that also. That is not in the language.
That's right. I've read the blue book. I haven't seen any number.
And I have the actual legislation here. You can look. It does not say zero tolerance. And here's what would happen. This is a statutory amendment, not a constitutional amendment. There will be public hearings. There will be legislative input. That is where these fine-tuning of details will occur with public input.
So what would you say to a voter who hears that and says, I don't know what I'm voting for then, because this could end up in any number of ways after it's passed?
What, they can't rewrite it entirely, but it allows for public input. And we have to make 20 years this has been in our food supply with no disclosure. We must make progress on this issue. And big corporations like Monsanto are spending millions of dollars right here in Colorado to keep consumers in the dark. We must make progress on this issue.
Let's talk about where money fueling both of your sides comes from. So the No campaign has raised much more than the Yes campaign. And there was indeed a $4.7 million donation from Monsanto, the largest producer of genetically modified seeds. So, Mary Lee, you speak as a registered dietitian, but what do you tell people who argue that you're a mouthpiece, essentially, for a big corporate interest, Monsanto?
I can only let people know my background. I have done consulting work for seed companies such as Pioneer Seed and Monsanto. I've also been a very hardworking shareholder in a cooperative organic farm. And when our pepper crop went down, I went and bought conventional peppers from the supermarket, and I grew hybrid squash and green beans in my garden this year. My belief is that we have to get the best practices of every single type of food technology to provide affordable and nutritious food. When it comes to money, the unfortunate reality that it costs money to run a campaign. Yes, Monsanto has contributed money, but do not ignore the fact that Farm Bureau and so many farm organizations, dairy farmers, people who are exempt from this, support the No on 105 campaign. They know it's going to cost them a lot of money in the long run. And when Tammy talks about the farmer who already grows organic, you know, they have that equipment. They're a very small percentage of the farming community in Colorado. Agriculture is a big economic driver in our state. I have worked with farmers and ranchers and dairymen, and they are concerned, which is why they support No on 105.
And Tammy, your group, Right to Know, has raised several hundred thousand dollars. Mm-hmm. According to public reporting, it's gotten its biggest contributions from a national group called Food Democracy Now, mm-hmm. and then Dr. Bronner's, which makes organic soap.
There's one other contributor that's actually a larger contributor. But Food Democracy Now! Has been a huge supporter. And if you look at how Food Democracy Now! Raises money, it's from individuals. They have a database of hundreds of thousands of concerned citizens across the country. And in our campaign, thousands of individuals in Colorado and around the country have contributed and have volunteered their time to get this on the ballot. It's the people of Colorado mostly driving this initiative.
And who is the third donor?
Presence Marketing. They're an organization that brokers for food companies.
You know, Tammy, there are any number of things about our food that a lot of people don't understand or may have questions about. Why focus on labeling genetically modified foods rather than, you know, say, meat raised with antibiotics, which has been in the news a lot?
This is a large percentage of the foods that Coloradans consume that contain or can contain genetically engineered foods. And why should we be concerned? You know, no one will dispute there is a sharp rise in food allergies and insensitivities, digestion issues, autism, Parkinson's, cancer. These are things that are definitely related to diet and nutrition, and consumers must read labels. They must read labels, and they're now demanding more transparency from their food manufacturers.
But you can't say that autism and cancer is related to this.
And I am not.
Right. So,
but what I'm saying is because consumers are battling these issues, they must know what's in their food. They're demanding more transparency. They're reading labels more carefully because they're dealing with more and more health concerns.
Is it disingenuous to kind of raise the specter of cancer and autism and then say, oh, but I can't actually make a connection there?
I don't believe so. Our food supply is changing. Our health is changing. It just does cause consumers to demand more information. Ask any mom who's dealing with these issues. They will tell you they never dreamt of reading labels so carefully, but now they must.
Mary Lee, if you consider the consumer to be smart and discerning and someone who potentially wants more information about their food, why not have the label?
I think it was addressed earlier. We have some really good scientific evidence to show that there is concern about obesity, diabetes, cancer. And so why not concentrate on what we absolutely know that we can do to address sugar, fat, and the other things that we know contribute to those chronic diseases. In terms of walking through the grocery store, and here as a dietitian, I really do have to take issue with this. Those exemptions, meat, dairy, the little things, even like gum is exempt from labeling, but breath mints are not. So it's confusing. It doesn't provide the consumer the right to know. You have the right to know if you walk through the processed food aisle, but you don't have the right to know what's genetically engineered if you walk through the dairy and meat aisle. That's confusing.
Let's talk briefly about the cost of enforcement, the cost of regulation here, along with proposed new laws on the ballot is a fiscal impact statement from the state. And they imagine that this is going to increase state spending by about $130,000. That's to hire someone who would do some of the enforcement and whatever bureaucracy would be around that person. You dispute that figure. Is that right, Mary Lee?
Yes, I do. There have been studies, and they took a look at how much it's going to cost. And to look at, certify, regulate, and enforce 105, it's going to be a huge financial cost. And what 105 does not address is where is that money going to come from? And there are no limitations within that. So when voters vote, they don't have an absolute when it comes to the cost.
Tammy DeVille Merrill from Right to Know Colorado, how do you respond?
We believe the fiscal impact statement is accurate. It states $113,000 projected in the first year, $130,000 for every year after that. That breaks down to 2 cents per Coloradan. That includes staffing, software, and regulation. And again, I'll go back to, it's not a mystery which ingredients in our food supply are genetically engineered. It's a short list of core products that are genetically engineered, and the farmers know, they sign a patent agreement with the manufacturer. They know when they're putting those seeds in the ground. It's not a big mystery.
Thanks to both of you.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks for having me on, Ryan.